So the fundamental breakthrough is that you can't just go in to the palace of the king and pray. You need license. You need what we call netilas rishus. And that means what the Rav calls a matir. And he says that not only does she'elas tzrochim, meaning if you want to put forward your own personal appeal, not only does that require a matir, but even tefillah itself requires a matir. In other words, even when I'm praying the standardized Shmon Esrei, the Amidah, as it was formulated, as it was created by the Chazal, by the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, I still need a matir for that. Now turn to page Mem Dalet. On the top, he brings a source to prove this fundamental point, and that is a drasha of Rav Simloi, which appears in a few places in Shas. It's in Avodah Zarah Daf Zayin. It's also Masechet Brachos. We'll see it coming up later. And Rav Simloi derives from Moshe Rabbeinu that in his tefilos in Parshas Vayeschanan, before he asked Hashem to allow him to enter into Eretz Yisrael, he first praised Hashem. And Rav Simloi, based on Moshe Rabbeinu, derives the conclusion that li'olam yisader adam shvachal shel makom v'achar kach yispalel. That first you have to organize and present praise to God, and then and only then can you pray. Rashi interprets the halacha of Rav Simloi in the following light. He says that the first three brachos of Shmon Esrei, which are known as the unit called Shevach, those are the ones that have to come first before what we call Tchina Ubakosha, before supplication and petition. So therefore Rashi's language is Shalosh Brachos Rishonos, Avos Gvuros Kedush Hashem, She'em Bayam Tefillah. These first three blessings of the Shmon Esrei do not contain any element of prayer, of petition, El Shevach. And after the first three brachos, the Achakach, then B'shar brachos, divrei tchina utfila. So we know now that not only does a private supplication and request require a matir license, even the Shmon Esrei itself, as it's structured, requires a license. And that comes under the halacha of Rav Simloi, that you have to organize your shevach before tefillah, and Rashi identifies that as the first three brachos of Shmon Esrei. Now the Rav takes it a step further, and he claims that not only does the Shmon Esrei require a matir, but even the shevach of Shmon Esrei requires a matir. In other words, who am I to praise Almighty God? And he bases himself on a Gemara in Masechta Megillah about Shimon HaPakuli. The Gemara says that after the Chachamim forgot the Seder of the Shmon Esrei, Shimon HaPakuli reinstated it. And the Gemara adds the following sentence, Mikan V'Elech, beyond those blessings of praise, Asur l'saper b'shvachos shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nothing more is permissible. These and only these praises are allowed. And then the Gemara quotes an entire drasha of Rabbi Lazar, Mi yimaleil gvuras Hashem yashmiya kol tilaso, who is great enough to express the praise of Almighty God? Only if you're capable, as if anyone is, mortal man is not capable of singing all the praises of God, because God is infinite. Amar Rabba Bar Rachana Rabbi Yochanan Mesape Veshvach Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu Yosem Yidai. If a person adds praise beyond that formulated standardized praise, Nekar Min Olam. And he quotes a pasuk in Iyov. So the Rav derives from this Gemara, this Sugya in Megillah Yud Ches, that even the expression of praise to God requires license, requires a matir. And therefore, summarizing this in the second paragraph on the page, he says that the tefillah itself, from beginning to end, needs a matir. You need a matir to recite and put forward your petitions, and the petitions now need the matir of Shevach, and that's based on the halacha of Rav Simloi, and the Shevach itself, based on the Gemara Megillah, requires a matir. So, what is the matir to recite Shevach? It's the structure of Shmon Esrei. The Anshei Knesset HaGdola set up, they organized, they formulated the Shevach in the first three brachos, and that Shevach is going to be matir. I should say that tefillah, the Seder HaTefillah itself is going to be matir Shevach to HaKadosh Baruch.
The fact that you're doing it
is the matter? The fact that the Anshei Knesset HaGdola formulated these particular paragraphs of Shevach, that's what allows me to say those that Shevach. Oh. If the Anshei Knesset HaGdola had not formulated that Shevach and placed it into the structure of Shmon Esrei, then it would be audacity on my part. And it would be prohibited to express that praise. And therefore, my praise will be limited to express only that which the Chacham gave me permission to praise.
I understand, but how would you, before that time, how would somebody approach?
Historically, you mean?
Yeah.
What was the matir before the Anshei Knesset HaGdola? I would say the following, that before the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, there was no formalized structure for tefillah at all. So, the whole matir halacha really was initiated by the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, I would say, at the time that they formulated the tefillah. Before that, it was it was just
Hashem wants you to come in front. Hashem wants you to have an audience with him in a certain way.
Right, in a very specific way. I mean, that's the whole thesis of Rav Soloveitchik here, that it's not just I come in and I have an audience, you know. There's got to be reverence, there's got to be distance, there's got to be respect.
So it was a takana which they put in because they wanted to change the way it was beforehand?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay. So we're saying the Shevach has to be the structured three brachas that they institute. So let's say you have a woman who holding like the Rambam, the Filos D'Araisa, just to say any bakasha. So, you know, there are many women who historically would just do one bakasha a day, and they would be yoytze the mitzvah according to the Rambam. If they wanted to do a Shevach before their bakasha, they can't just make up a Shevach? Are we saying they couldn't make up a Shevach?
Women
who are not doubting a structure.
I would say the answer to your question, Michael, is more or less the answer to Joe's question, meaning that when the Chazal required this structure, then the only matir that you could avail yourself of is the structured Shevach. Now, what would be if the Chacham hadn't formulated the Shevach, or for example, the case of a woman who doesn't have the requirement of tefillah, of prayer in the structured, formalized way that we have it, then you would have to say that the need for prayer itself is a matir. The need for prayer requires also Shevach, because of Rav Simloi's principle. How she would accomplish that goal, I don't know. My gut feeling is that the Rav doesn't address your question, that it would require looking into Tanakh and finding in Tanakh those praises of Hashem that express themselves in Tanakh. That would be my gut feeling. Mm-hmm. I'm just guessing. And now, in the paragraph that starts Nimtza, the Rav discusses what's called a tfilas nedava. This concept of tfilas nedava, of an optional prayer, would be very problematic according to the Rav's thesis. Because what's the matir in the case of tfilas nedava? Offhand, we would say the following, that when you're obligated to pray, what's called the tefillas chova, then you're allowed to pray. But when you're not obligated to pray, then there's no license to pray. In fact, the Gemara in Brachos on Daf Lamed Aleph says, Yochol yispalel adam kol hayom kulo. Would you imagine that a person could put forward as many prayers as he wants? He could formulate one prayer, sit down and start another one? And the Gemara answers, no, you cannot do that. Kvar mefurash al yidei Daniel v'zimnin tlosa. You may recall that we discussed this, that from Daniel we're going to derive the conclusion that you can pray three times a day. Nothing more. So what is tefillas nedava then? If the magic number, the ceiling is three, how can I offer my own voluntary prayer? So the Rush in Masechta Brachos quotes Rabbeinu Yonah, who in turn quotes Rav Haigoim, that tefillas nedava is only permissible with what's called a chidush davar, which means I have to add some new prayer. Otherwise, there's no license to recite a tefillas nedava. Let's read Rabbeinu Hai's language. He says, "Divadai lo kam iboile." When the Gemara raised the possibility that a person could daven beyond the tefillas chova, lo kam iboile im chova shiyispal adam kol yom kulo. It was beyond question, beyond doubt. It was non-thinkable to pray a tefillas chova beyond the three tefillos. The Gemara rather was raising an entirely different question. Can I put forward a tefillas reshus, a voluntary prayer, beyond the three obligatory prayers? That was the Gemara's suffix. And what was the Gemara's answer? Do I have license to put forward to pray a tefillas reshus? The answer is no. Veheshivlon to lo yispalel ela gimel pa'amim. Three is the maximum. Says the Rav Haigon im Kain, Hechi kama Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan made the statement over there in the Gemara in Brachos, Valavaishi yispalel adam kol yom kulo, which means certainly that it's, if not recommended, it's certainly permissible to pray over and over and over again. Ela vadai. What kind of tefillas reshus would be permissible according to Rabbi Yochanan? Rabbi Yochanan kamar alehecha shemachadish badavar. When he enhances his tefillah by adding his own chidush, his own new bakasha request. V'hadiv v'perik ein omdim hachi kamar yachal yispal adam kol yom kulo below chidush. I might think, excuse me, that beyond the three tefillos of chova, I can add a tefillas reshus, and that tefillas reshus would be identical to a tefillas chova. And Reheshiv lo, and he answered, he responded, Diyasa, he's not allowed to do that. He cannot add another tefillas chova. If he wants to add, he can do so, but only if he doesn't repeat the same identical Shmon Esrei as he did under the obligation of three tefillos, but rather he changed it and added his own chidush davar. Then and only then he's allowed to do so. So it means that even tefillas nedava requires a matir. And what is that matir? Chidush davar.
Not even worse, chidush davar, because it's like you're going in front of Hashem again, asking for stuff that's not part of the...
Okay, let's discuss how Chidush Dova works, but since the Rav is going to talk about Chidush Dova right now in the next two major paragraphs, let me curtail or withhold my comments and my understanding, and let's see how the Rav presents it. So we're looking at the bottom of Mem Dalet, and the Rav mentions Shmuel, and this statement of Shmuel is in Brachos on Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. The Rav mentioned it earlier on page Lamed Ches in this essay. And Shmuel's opinion is that if you come into a synagogue, you've already davened, but you notice that the tzibur is about to get up and pray together as a tzibur, and you think, wow, it's a shame. You know, I didn't get a chance to daven with a tzibur. I want to obtain that enhanced cue, that upgraded prayer of praying together with the community. Can I do so? So Shmuel says, yes, you're allowed to do so. Under what circumstances? Under A, that you daven a tefilas nedava, because as far as the tefilas chov is concerned, the maximum number is 3, you've already achieved that maximum. Number 2, you have to be mechadish badava.
Wouldn't be davening in a minyan chadish davar herself?
Excellent question, but Shmuel holds not like that. The Gemara has a havamina that if Shmuel didn't add that proviso, then you wouldn't need chidish badavar. Because maybe your tefilas yachid, in comparison to a tefilas tzibur, is as if he didn't daven at all. So therefore he can repeat a tefilas chova, and that would be acceptable. But the Gemara says, no, Shmuel wants to teach me that even under these circumstances, you need a chidish davar. And we're going to soon see that the only case, that's the discussion of the Rav HaMemhei, in which you don't need a Chidush Davar, is the case of Suffolk Ispalel, Suffolk Lo Ispalel. And that itself is going to be an issue. But in the case of a person who wants to obtain the added additional kiyum of a Tfilas Tzibur, he can recite a Tfilas Nedava, he's already fulfilled his obligation, but only on condition that he's Mechadish Badava. And the Rav says that this concept of tefilas nedava with a chidish badavar really conceals two different fundamental ideas. And in a funny sort of sense, they're contradictory. On the one hand, you could create in tefilas nedava a cheftza shel tefila. And you don't have a chovas gavra. You've already fulfilled your obligation, and yet you have the ability to create a cheftza shel tefila, a shmon esrei, an amida. That's meaningful. If you recall our discussions earlier, in the case of Birkas HaMazon or Kiddush and the like, you don't have the ability to do so. Without a chovas gavra, it's simply a bracha of atola. It has no status as Birkas HaMazon, as Halel, as Kiddush. But in the case of tefila of Amidah of Shmon Esrei, you have the power to create a cheftza shel tefila. And you don't need the chovas gavra to create the cheftza shel tefila. That's point number one, and that explains the existence of, or the entity of, tefilas nidav. But there's another important fundamental principle at work here. And that is that you can't just avail yourself of this possibility. Yeah, you've granted that capacity, that power, but you can't just use it whenever you like. Right? Man has powers, but he's not always allowed to use them. That act of creating a cheftza shel tefila, which is a tzura, he calls it the form of tefila, the yudches brachos, although you have the power to do so, you cannot do so unless you have a matir, you have permission, you have license to do so. And why is that? I mean, you're giving me the opportunity to create this cheftza shel tefila. Why not avail myself of that opportunity? Why do I need to ask rishus? Why do I need to ring the bell and get some sort of a sign, you know, that says you're allowed in? So the Rav says, once again, who is man to come in front of the kings, the king of kings, and he's lowly man that belongs to this world? Tefila needs a matir. The gavra just can't stand in front rise up and stand in front of the king of the universe with his own, how shall I say, insignificant requests, again, insignificant in the broader scheme of the universe, and come in front of the master of the universe without the Tilis Rishus? I don't know why the Rav constantly, over and over again, uses two terms. You'll see it over and over. He calls it the Tilis Rishus, and he calls it a Matir or a Heter. It sounds to me like he's using some poetic license over here. I don't know the difference between getting permission and a halachic matir. Maybe Netilas Rishus is more the psychological state, a description of reality, and the heter that the Rav speaks about is a halachic matir. I don't know. But be that as it may, without this matir, there's no room for tefillah. If a gavra would come and stand in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam without a matir, and create on his own initiative, create a chefzah shel tefillah, that would be making himself bigger than he is.
The Rav uses toeva.
Right.
That's a pretty strong statement.
Right, right, because that's the language in the Gemara uses in Masechta Brachos to describe, let's say, for example, if a person davens and he has to relieve himself and he doesn't do so, that's called tefillah toeva. Or if a person davens and there are excrements in the area, you know, tzoa, that's called tefillah toeva. The Gemara even says that a rasha, an evil doer, his tefillah is toeva. There are many cases where the Gemara calls it toeva. That word toeva is probably, in the Gemara's language, a spin-off of kudshin, because the original form of toeva is regard to bringing kudshin when you're not supposed to bring it. The Rav is, I think, deliberately using a very harsh word here to indicate that the tefillos are meaningless. You know, you have a mitzvah of tefillah that you want to fulfill. You've got to realize that without the proper permission, you cannot fulfill and obtain the kiyum of tefillah. And a tefillah without a kiyum tefillah is called a toeva. So again, with regard to the first three tefillos, as the Rav points out on the top of Mem Hei Amud Aleph, you have a matir because you're obligated to daven these three tefillos. Correct? So the chiyuv itself entails or generates permission and matir. However, with regard to a fourth tefillah that you want to offer on that day, even though you have the power to create such an entity of tefillah, however, there's no matir. And you cannot pray without a matir. And that's why the Rosh points out, says the Rav, that when the Gemara raised the possibility, the Hava Amina, that perhaps you could daven more than three tefillos, the Gemara had in mind a fourth tefillah, which is a tefillas nedava, but that tefillas nedava requires a matir. Let's read the Rav's language. He says, "Biyachas l'rishus u'matir zeh," in order to obtain this permission and this matir, again the double language that he always uses, "Nemra alocha shel chidush dava," the requirement is that you enhance your tefillah by adding something that didn't exist in the standard tefillah, in the tefillah schova. How is Chidush Dover a matir? Neil, this was your question from before. How does that function as a matir, just because I added something? So the Rav says, "Im yochel echadish dover levakish mena koshvor shalo his kibit tefillah schova di day, tzorech ze matir." Emphasize the word tzorech. Tzorech is another word. I don't mean to say it's identical, and it's not a synonym, but it's another term for the same concept as tzara. Tzara, according to the Rambam Shita, tefillah is d'oraisa, and the Ramban disagrees, but the Ramban, who says that tefillah is only d'rabbanan, agrees that at the time of tzara, tefillah is d'oraisa. There's a separate parasha in the Torah that obligates us to pray at a time of tzara. If a person is so upset, he's so perturbed because he's missing something, there's some goal that he's lacking that he has to achieve and he wants to pour his heart out, and he feels that the standardized tefillah, as much as he davened it and he tried his best and he did it three times a day, but it just didn't express those personal needs. Although, again, any personal need, in theory, could fit under any of the major avos, the super categories of the Yud Gimel Emtzoyis, the 13 brachos in the middle. But nevertheless, he wants to get very specific in his tefillah. So what option does he have? He can say to the Ribbono Shel Olam, for me, I am so motivated, I'm so upset, I need this so desperately that I'm going to add another tefillah. That's how much he cares about it. That tzorech itself is a matir. And perhaps we can go back and answer Joe your question, and Michael your question from before. Joe asking, what was the situation before Chazal formulated the tefillah? And your question, Michael, what's the status of a woman even today if she's not davening a standardized tefillah Shmoneh Esrei? Perhaps we can employ the same logic that the Rav is employing with regard to tefillah Nedavah. What allows me to pray a tefillah Nedavah? The answer is tzara, the fact that I'm in desperate need. This should remind us of, well, close, but I was thinking of Tefillah Ktzara. Where is it? Take a look on the top of page Mem Aleph, just to jolt your memory. Remember, the Rav had a tremendous problem understanding the Gemara in Brachos on Daf Lamed Amid Aleph about a Tefillah Ktzara. And do you remember, where does he quote the various nuschos? Is that here in this paragraph? Just give me a minute. On the right page. Where it should be on the top of the page where he speaks about Tzarchei Amcha Merubin. What page is that? Okay. One second, I got to get myself oriented. It should be. Oh, here it is, on the top of Mem Gimel. It's actually only one page before. But that's what happens from one week to the next. You know, you always need a chazar. So, here on the top of Mem Gimel, the Rav quoted the sugya in Brachos about a holech b'makom sakana. And do you remember that the four shitas in the Amoraim were so stingy and limited about how to formulate your tefillah? It was a concealed kind of tchina. And why is that? Because again, you need a matir. But again, at the end of the day, what is the matir? Well, for example, the next paragraph on Mem Gimel, what was the matir? Remember the Chet HaEgel story. And Klal Yisrael needed desperately the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. So all of this, whether it's the sugya in Brachos regarding Holech Makom Sakana, the sugya in Rosh Hashanah regarding the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim, it all leads, or I should say reflects what the Rav is saying here, that the fundamental matir is tzara. Except that sometimes the situation of tzara is so obvious and so dramatic and perhaps even communal, the whole of Klal Yisrael is in that situation, or an individual whose life is threatened at that moment. Sometimes it's a little bit less dramatic. I have to take my actuary test, but it means a great deal to me, and I just couldn't fit it into the standard Shmoneh Esrei. My success on the actuary test. I'm applying for a job. I have to go in front of the whole shul and prove myself. So I dive in an extra tefillah. Why? Because I don't feel that I was successful in expressing my deep desires and my needs and my petitions within the structure and that time period. You know, I've got Reuven davening on my right and Shimon on my left, and then the shots is already finished before I started. You know what I'm saying? I just can't get myself, you know, get myself together to do this. Or imagine a situation of someone, Rachmana Litzlan, he's visiting a family member in a hospital room, and he can't leave, you know, to go daven b'tzibur. So he desperately wants to daven. Or he already did daven, or whatever the situation is. That's a case of tzara. And perhaps he should kneel down and daven to Hashem on the spot. Again, I'm going way beyond the Rav here, so don't, you know, I don't want you to hold the Rav responsible for what I'm adding here. I don't know. The Rav hasn't exactly spelled out all the answers to your questions. What was before the Anshei Knesset Gedolah? What do we do with Noshim today? What do I do in a situation where I want to express my deepness? Can I do it? It seems from the Rav that there are very strict rules. I've got to do it either within Shmon Esrei, after Shmon Esrei, or perhaps with an additional Shmon Esrei, but only if I'm a Chadish Badovar. What do we do with the lady folk? I don't know. It could be that the Rav would say that the ladies also have to daven a Shmon Esrei. Just that maybe they have to daven three times a day, maybe they have to daven two times a day, or once a day is enough. But you're right, there are Shittas who say they just, you know, express a bakosh. I don't know. Maybe the Rav would, you know, would differ with those opinions. I know for sure that the Rav held that a woman is obligated to daven twice a day, and maybe even three times a day. You know, that was his opinion. Yeah. But that's besides the point. Let's read the last few lines here in the top paragraph on Mem Hey.
So the Tzara is the material.
Yeah, that's what we're going to read now, Byron. Look, just do me a favor, look inside, and then the floor is yours. He says, Hamachayev b'tfila b'chlal hi tzara. He said, as a general rule, why am I obligated to pray? And here I think he's referring, by allusion, to the Ramban. Tzara is the Machayev. So therefore, if I have a need, kol davar she meitzar lo liyod, then what's meitzar? That's right. What do you say?
Troubles.
It troubles him. Yeah, it disturbs his sleep. He wakes up in the middle of the night and he wants to do better and he wants to achieve certain goals. So he needs divine help. Kshiyesh lo bakasha v'rotzel ispal Hashem shimalena, that God should fulfill his request. Does the Rav mean that he could just start praying, you know, belting it out? I don't know. Right now, I'm very committed to the text that's in front of me. The Rav says he's got to stand up. It could be a fourth time that he's davening that day, but it's got to be a tefilas nedava, which is a halachically prescribed method with many conditions, the most fundamental of which is to be mechadish badavar. Im lo yechadish badavar, if he's going to repeat the other Shmon Esrei, then what's the matir for that? The same Shmon Esrei again? That was a tefilas chova. He already fulfilled his tefilas chova. What converts and transforms the tefila into a different entity? The chidish badavar. And that itself is the matir.
Again, what is the chidish badavar in this situation? That he wants to do it?
No. What do you mean? What's the chiddush badavar? You mean? Are you asking? Well, what are you asking exactly? I'm not sure. Are you asking how do you create a chiddush badavar or what?
Yeah. What's he?
So that's what I'm saying. He says to Ribono Shel Olam, I need to pass this exam. I need your help. So again, God's not going to answer the exam for him. Right. But what God might do is help him get clarity of thought, help him relieve some of those distractions.
The
you know,
badavar is actually a new bakasha.
Correct. Exactly. I'm sorry if I didn't make that clear. You have to add your own personal petition to the structure Shmon Esrei, and then and only then are you allowed to be mispala tefilas nedava. Without it, there's no tefilas nedava.
But is that the matir?
The Rav is saying that that's the matir because you need that request fulfilled. If you need that request fulfilled, then the halacha allows you to put forth the Shmon Esrei.
I thought tzara was the matir.
Again, the Rav is identifying tzara and tzorech. We are not going to set up standards, you know, minimum standards for how to define tzara. If you're disturbed by it, if you can't sleep at night, if you feel so motivated that you want to add another Shmon Esrei because you want to add this bakasha, that it means something to you, unless you're a lunatic. You know, if you're an imbecile, you're very dull, you're a little bit retarded, and you get, you know, you get kicks out of saying Shmon Esrei or something like that, then that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a person who has plenty of things to do with his time. He's a very busy individual. His time is precious. His time is precious. And he looks for the opportunity to add another Shmon Esrei. Another one? The answer is because he's totally upset. Is that called tzara? Well, maybe for me it is. For you it wouldn't be. You know, the concept of tzara is very relative. It's very ambiguous.
But you can go the complete opposite and say something good happened. I want to do another tefillah as opposed to something bad.
So you're asking a different question. Can my need to thank Hashem allow me to add another tefillah? Once again, that's another question that you've asked, and you're all asking drooling questions tonight, but it's not addressed in this essay, at least not until this point. I mean, I'm up to Memches, maybe beyond. But right now, the Rav is talking about a Chiddush Badavar. Chiddush Badavar is in the Yud Gimel Emtzayos. There is no room for praise to God and thanks God, thanksgiving in the Yud Gimel Emtzayos. The Yud Gimel Emtzayos are the avos of the needs of man. So your question is excellent, but it's not addressed here, so I don't feel personally responsible to answer your question.
And it would also be needed that he has not discussed this or thought about this before in his upstairs.
Just 1 second. I would tell you, Byron, again, I'm just shooting from the hip here, the Rav doesn't address your question, that the answer to your question would be no. You would not be allowed to do that. Because I'll tell you why. To the same extent that the Rav says that you need a matir for Shevach, I would say you need a matir for Odoya. And I'll tell you why. The halacha is very strict. You can add to Shmon Esrei, but neither in the Gimel Rishonos nor in the Gimel Achronos. In fact, the poskim go do somersaults in the air to try to justify during Aser Yisrei Tshuva, how is it that we add different things, how do we do that? We're not allowed to tamper, not with the first three, nor with the last three. So whatever the answer is, and how the as Rabbi Weber said, wherever it lands, he likes to say. But the bottom line is, you need a matir to say Shevach and Hodoya. In fact, the Gemara says that if someone decides he wants to say Halil on any day of the year, he's a chorei from a gadef, the Gemara brachos. So I'm inclined to think that the answer to your question is no, but on the other hand, as I said before, and I always keep quoting Simon and Garfunkel, I'm feeling groovy today, so I want to, I want to express that to Almighty God. Is mum's the word according to the Rav? Also, lomar afilu mila achas? I don't know. I don't think that should be the answer. I mean, that's so anti-Hasidic that it puts the Rav in the super-duper Litvish Akam. I don't know if we have to go that far. But certainly, it would not just, feeling groovy would not justify adding another Shmon Esrei. For sure not. Again, your own personal words of God, I would say yes. You want to talk to God, maybe yes. Say, God, you're really great. You did a great thing for me today. Had a wonderful Purim. Thank you very much. Yeah, I think that would be okay, but
not like Birkas HaGomel, in a way? But that's for only those four things.
Right, right. Once again, maybe the Rav would say that the Sakana of the Yardei Midbarios, etc., that itself is matir, that bracha. Every bracha needs a matir. So if you were to say, I want to say Gomel Chayov Tovos for Noat, that would be a bracha of Atola.
That's not in Shmon Esrei.
But what's true for Shmon Esrei is true for any bracha. No, it's just like Shmon Esrei needs a matir, any bracha needs a matir. That's why the Rav kept saying that Birkas HaMazon, you can't just say, oh, thanks God for the grub, or you want to say Halil, you're in the mood, or you want to recite sanctification over the Shabbos in a bracha, you can't just do that. I know you're in the mood, but, this comes back to something that we discussed in the Halachic Man probably about a year ago, if anybody remembers, that in Halachic Man, the Rav is opposed to what he calls religious subjectivism. You remember that whole piece? Right, the Ish Halacha works in a very structured kind of way. I mean, this is a beautiful example in Halacha of Halachic Man in Hashkafa. But let's move on. Hold your questions for a while, because I think as the plot grows thicker, we get more and more of a grasp of what the Rav is trying to do. And I really, for the next two pages, I put in a lot of work. I can't tell you for sure I got it, but I'm sweating it out. Oh. Now the Rav, in this paragraph, Nimtza, says what I call a Lumdisha, brisker kind of chiddush. He says that there are two ways of understanding the situation of someone who leaves out what he was required to include in his tefillah. Okay, so again, in a general sense, we're talking about someone who is required to recite something in his tefillah, and he left it out. No good. That's a technical foul. Why? What's wrong with that? And the Rav says there are two distinct, fundamentally different issues, and they should not be confused. One is what's called Mishana Mimatbea Shetovu Chachom. If you recite a Shmon Esrei and you make a serious change from the standardized formula, you have some sort of, we'll call it an abridged Shmon Esrei. Again, it could go either way, but you left out a certain piece of the Shmon Esrei. Let's say you left out a bracha. I'm not saying you left out one word, but you left out a bracha. That's called Mishana Mimatbea Shetovu Chachom. In such a case, he has to daven again. He has not fulfilled his obligation of tefillah. Clear? Mm-hmm. What about the case of a tefillah nedava, where the halacha requires that you be mechadish pa dover? Supposing he stood up, he recited a tefillah nedava, and he wasn't mechadish pa dover. No good. He omitted chidish dover, that's not good. He didn't fulfill the mitzvah of tefillah. But I want to ask a different question. Why? What undermines that tefillah? What vitiates that tefillah? Is it the fact that he was Meshanim Imatbeah Chachamim? After all, he recited exactly the identical tefillah to a tefillah Schova. It's very difficult to say that he was Meshanim Inusach HaTefillah. Says the Rav, sometimes omitting something from your tefillah undermines the tefillah for a whole different reason. Not because you changed the tefillah, but because you're lacking a matir. And that's what the Rav says, and this is going to be very important. He's laying the groundwork for what's going to come later about the case of Suffolk is Palil, Suffolk low is Palil. The Rav says, well, when I say later, I mean later in this same paragraph. That's what I meant to say. The Rav says at the beginning of this paragraph that the requirement of Chidush Dover and Tfilas Nedover should not be equated with the matbea or the nusach of tefillah. Once again, the Rav uses two terms and I don't know why. They're exactly identical. The nusach of tefillah is the same as the matbea shel tefillah. So I can't answer that question. You know, when I see the Rambam repeating the same word twice, I will spend all my life trying to figure out what's the difference between the first word and the second word. I'm not that committed in the case of the Rav's Yartzeit Shiur. But be that as it may, he's got matbea and he's got nusach. Those two are identical in my book. He says, when you leave out chidish badavar, that's not a problem of mishanami matbea shetovu chachamim. That is not like a person who omits one of the brachos of Shmon Esrei. But rather, the deficiency is in the lack of a matir and a tefillas reshus. Again, the double language. If one prays the identical tefillah of a tefillas chova as a nedava when he's not obligated, the matbeah of the tefillah is not lacking, it's not deficient. It's exactly the matbeah that the chachamim wanted. However, he doesn't have any fulfillment of any mitzvah because he prayed without a heter. And praying without a matir disqualifies the tefillah. That's why Rav Hai Goen says that in a case of Suffolk is Palil, Suffolk lo is Palil, he has the opportunity, in order to make sure that he doesn't go by that day without fulfilling his obligation to tefillah, to daven to pray at tefillas nedava. And not only that, says Rav Hai Goen, in such a case, he doesn't have to be mechadish badavar. Now, again, if chidish badavar in its relationship to a tefillas nedava is like a bracha in relationship to a tefillas chova, meaning it's part of the matbea shetovu chachamim, the matbea, the very essence and tzuras hatfila is lacking because you didn't add any chidushim, then in the case of Suffolk is Paul, Suffolk low is Paul, imagine the following. Supposing he went ahead and he died, supposing in truth he had davened, he doesn't know that. And now his davening has to be what? It has to be in a davening. There's no other choice by process of elimination. Again, he doesn't know whether he davened. But if Klapei Shmaya Galia, it's clear up in the heavens that he davened, then his tefillah now could only be a tefillah nedava. But a tefillah nedava is not a tefillah nedava without Chiddush Badava. It's as if he left out a major chunk of Shmoneh Esrei. It's Meshanim Abdei Chachamim. Why is it that Rav Haigon insists that in the case of Safik Espal, Safik Lo Espal El, you don't require a Chiddush Badava, get up and pray a tefillah nedava without a Chiddush Badava? What do you mean? Tefillah nedava without a Chiddush Badava? It's not a tefillah. It's Meshanim Matbeah Shetavu Chachamim. Ah, says the Rav Nein. The Matbeah Shetavu Chachamim is perfect. The requirement of Chiddush Badavar in the Dava is Bitaris Matir. Says the Rav, in the case of Safek, the Safek itself is a Matir. The very fact that he needs this tefillah in the Dava, because he may actually be using it to substitute and replace a tefillah chova, because maybe he didn't daven that tefillah chova, that itself is a need which allows him to get up and pray a tefillah nedava. Therefore, he doesn't need Chiddush Badava. In a normal case, where I'm not a Safek, I know that I daven my tefillah chova, I daven three times a day, I've finito, I've completed my obligation, I've discharged my duty. Now, what's going to be matter me to again get up in front of the Kisei HaKavod with another tefillah? There's no matter. The answer is Chiddush Badava. The fact that I need something, as subjective as my need is, but it bothers me, and it disturbs my mind and my sleep, it upsets my peace of mind, that tzorech is a matir. But in the case of Safek, what is pressing him to put forward a tefillah nedava? The Safek itself. Because maybe he didn't daven, then he doesn't need Chiddush Badava. This is a very lumdish piece, this piece. I see the brisker, you know, the stempel of the brisker derech right here. In this piece, you could literally give a whole lecture called Tools for Brisk on this one paragraph here.
I'm sorry, maybe you could say he is Betzara, because he's worried he wasn't Yoytze. So that's a Tzara itself.
Right. It really always comes down to the same idea. Namely, that you need this tefillah, and the need for the tefillah itself is a matir. But there's no Gzeres HaKosuv, an absolute ironclad rule under all circumstances, that there ain't no such thing as a tefillah nedava unless you're Mechadish Badava. That's not an absolute rule. Rav Haigon himself, who is the author of the Shita that you must have in every tefillah nedava, a Chiddush Badava, he drops the ball. He drops the requirement of Chiddush Badava in the case of Safek Espalah. The answer is because the Safek itself is the Matir. Oh, and now, on the bottom of Memhei, this gets really exciting. We said until now that a tefillas chova doesn't need any matir because the chova itself is the matir. That's the first line on the page, if you take a look up on top. Atzmo shel chiyuv hofech matir v'rishayon amidu lifnei Hashem. Yet, now the Rav backtracks and he says that even a tefillas chova needs a matir. How does he derive this conclusion? And this, Neil, I think will go back to your point. Why does Chiddush Badava make a tefillah nedava meaningful, acceptable? The answer is because Chiddush Badava changes the very essence of what tefillah is all about. Because you remember that we learned in the past the statement of Rabbi Eliezer in Brachos Chaf Ches Amid Beis, and please follow me inside on the bottom of Memhei. Ha'oset tfiloso keva ain't tfiloso tachnunin. And you'll remember that we interpreted, the Rav interpreted Rabbi Lezer as saying that a person gets up and he davens with the mindset that I'm responsible to daven, it's a burden on my shoulder, it's a requirement that I have to fulfill, which is the proper attitude for any mitzvah other than tefillah, then ain't tfiloso tachnunin. His tefillah is not supplication. The halach of kavona lotzeis yidei chovasi, that this is mitzvah slav le'enos, the Rashi says chol kavu aleim, if you remember we discussed, Rashi Roshon. That attitude is antithetical to tefillah, says Rabbi Eliezer. In tefillah, the feeling has to be supplication. My keva, which tefillah is Rabbi Eliezer referring to when he says keva? Rav Yosef the Amit Ravai Kol Sheinu Yochel L'Chadish Badover. Look at that, my friends. We've been saying over and over again that Chidish Badover is a requirement in what kind of tefillah? A tefillah Siddava. Rava and Rav Yosef, this is Mavel Arayim. This should make your hair stand on end. They require a Chidish Badover and a tefillah Chova. They're not talking about a tefillah Siddava. And the Rav goes very far with this. He says, if you daven a tefillas chova and you don't add anything, you know, you always meet Jews who complain to you. Did you ever get this? I get it all the time. Rabbi, I can't understand. They standardized the tefillah, and now I daven out of rote, and it's meaningless to me. We all feel this way, no? I mean, isn't that, people ask me this question all the time. You know, after the Rambam's whole introduction at the beginning of Hilchos Tefillah as to why the Chachi Knesset Gedol felt that they had to standardize the Tefillah, because the Ilgim who couldn't express it, blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, Yotze Schar B'Afsei, though. What situation emerged? That people are davening out of rote, like tukis, like robots, and they don't pay any attention to a word they say. What's the answer to that problem? Says Rav Yosef, that's exactly what Rabbi Eliezer had in mind. If you're praying like a tuki, if you're reading the standardized text, or maybe you know it by heart by now, that's tefillas keva. That's not a tefillas tachnunin. You forfeited the mitzvah of tefillah. It's not worth anything. Says Rabbi Rav Yosef, you have to be mechadish badover. You have to have the capacity at every single tefillah, three times a day, that's 7 days a week, gets 21 tefillos. I don't know about Musaf, that's a whole different story. So 21 times a day, each one of those times, says Rabbi Yosef, you have to have the chiddush in mind. Otherwise, it's a tefillos keva. So if you ask me, does the halacha encourage personal prayers? According to Rabbi Yosef, not only encourages, it's an absolute requirement. If you can't get up there in a creative way and add your own tefillos, don't bother davening, says Rabbi Yosef. You've got to be an artist and paint a new painting every single time you get up and daven. Says the Rav, is l'shitasam gam tefillas chovas kuka l'chadchila l'chidish davar. He adds the word l'chadchila because he doesn't want to commit Rabbi and Rav Yosef to go as far as to say that if you weren't Mechadish Badover, your tefillah is meaningless. But certainly the concept of Chidish Badover, according to Rabbi and Rav Yosef, is a requirement even with regard to a tefillah's chova.
I don't want to be meductic, but I am being meductic. They say, Damrei Tervayo, Kol She'eno Yachol Mechadish. It doesn't say Kol She'eno Mechadish.
You're right. Maybe what they mean is that you don't have to actually formulate,
but you have to feel,
but you have to think new thoughts. You know, and there has to be some new experience in your tefillah, new motivation, new prayers. So I don't know if you have to formulate them and write them down on a piece of paper. He says, "L'datam chidish davar b'tefillas hakvus eino karuch b'tzuras hatefillah shoot b'alidei rabosenu." Once again, he's pressing his point from the previous paragraph. It's absolutely crystal clear that the requirement of Chidish Badover has nothing to do with the Nusach HaTfilah, with the Matbea HaTfilah. The Matbea HaTfilah was perfect. He did it exactly as he was meant to do. He dotted each I, he crossed each T. But rather, the requirement of Chidish Badover is a Din Matir. How could a person stand in prayer in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam without adding something to his tefillah? If it's a standardized tefillah over and over again, that's a tefillah's keva. That's antithetical to tefillah. We don't accept the shita of Rabba and Rav Yosef. And if you turn to page Mem Vav, we accept la halacha the other opinions, that even l'chatchil you're allowed to daven a tefillah's chova without any chiddush badavar. However, the Rav says something very radical. And again, I see the typical Rav Soloveitchik approach to Shas. It's such a different way of looking at things. You know, you see a machlokas, you assume that one opinion completely rejects the other, and he's not always going to accept that. In this case, he's going to reject that. He's going to say that, no, even those who disagree with Rav and Rav Yosef, they agree in concept, in principle, that a tefillah needs a matir, even if it's a tefillah schova. But then the Rav in the next paragraph asks himself the question, So Bishlam, according to Rav and Rav Yosef, I know what the matir is. What is the matir for Tfilas Chova? What converts the tefillah into a unique tefillah? Into Tachnunin, in the Chiddush Badavar? What about the other shittas in the Gemara? What matir do we have? And again, the Rav is insisting that the Chova, the obligation, is not enough. Because the Chova will end you, if you start with the Chova, you'll end up with a Tfilas Keva. How do you create the matir on a Tfilas Keva? And you're not going to convert it into a different tefillah through Chiddush Davar. So here the Rav embarks on a whole new approach to what the matir is. This will begin with the paragraph Vihine, and will continue until page Nun. That's basically as long as it goes, until he gets back in the middle of page Nun to Smichus Gula Tfila. And let me just give a little introduction, because this is a big, big piece. And the Rav, based on a sugya at the beginning of Perek Ein Omdim, that starts on Brachos Lamed Amid Beis and continues on to Lamed Aleph Amid Aleph, the Mishnah and two Brisos present the kind of mental attitude that one has to have when he rises up to prayer, and what kind of a preparation he has to do before he prays. Just give me a minute. Okay. So the Mishnah speaks about an attitude of reverence, which is called Kovod Rosh. The Braisa rejects prayer out of a whole list of different states, different mind states, mental states. Perhaps somebody can get out of Gemara Brachas and we'll go through them. Until finally, after rejecting different states of mind, for example, it says Atzvus or Atzlus or Schok and Dvar Betelim, Sicha Betela, if I remember correctly. Again, I don't have the Gemara in front of me. Elam Itoch Simcha Shel Mitzvah. Is that familiar to you?
Yeah.
Okay. Hopefully I'm ringing a bell. This is not something new to you. So again, the Mishnah just says, Ein on v'lis palel mitoch kovod rosh. You know, this reverent feeling of fear and awesome, you know, in front of the awesome God. The Braisa says, Ein on v'lis palel mitoch atzvus, which is a somber, I would guess, sad kind of state. Lo mitok atzlus is a laid-back. Lo mitok schok, brevity. Lo mitok sicha is idle chatter. Lo mitok kalus rush. Again, a lot of these terms are very similar to each other. You have to understand the difference. Lo mitok dvarim betelim. Ela mitok simcha shel mitzvah. So Tosus here tries to reconcile the Mishnah of Kovod Rosh with the Braisa of Simcha Shel Mitzvah. Says Tosfos, Ein Mispal Mitoch Kalus Rosh Yischok El Mitoch Kovod Rosh V'Simcha Shel Mitzvah. Do you see how he combines them? Kigon Sha'osek B'Divrei Torah. That Torah is a mitzvah that has within it a great deal of Simcha, right? Pikudi Hashem Yishar Mesam Chilev. And now Tosa drops a bomb. At least to me it was a bomb. I never knew this. V'lachain, says Tosfos, in order to achieve this halacha of Simcha Shel Mitzvah, Nagu Lomar Psukei de Zimra V'ashrei Konim Tefila. Now keep in mind, Tosfos calls it a minhag. But if you look at the Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Mamrim, the Rambam is quick to point out, and he emphasizes this over and over again, that a minhag is like a takanas chachamim. We're not talking about a private minhag, you know, a couple of German Jews get together and decide, you know, how long they're going to wait between milchiks and fleishiks, or fleishiks and milchiks, or whatever it is. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a minhag in the sense of a takana. Now, ask yourself the question, where does Pesukei de Zimra come from? It's a very nice thing. But what's its origin? How do you put it in a halakhic framework? And the answer is that that's a fulfillment of this requirement of Ein Omdim Lispalil Ella, and whatever comes after the word Ella, says Tosfos, is the basis for the minig of Psukei Dezimra. Now, Psukei Dezimra applies only before what? Shachas. What do we do before Mincha? Ashrei. Tosfos mentions Ashrei. In the case of Mayriv, so I would have to assume that instead of Psukei Dezimra or instead of Ashrei, maybe it's, you know, that in Chutzlar, at least that whole long paragraph, Baruch Hashem Li'olam Amen V'Amen. I mean, maybe that's the Simcha Shel Mitzvah. I don't know. Tosfos doesn't address that question.
The looming prospect of goodness.
Oh, okay. That's the, I don't know if that's Simcha Shel Mitzvah. Okay, if you have the right kavana. So the Rav asks the following question. This whole sugya is focused on getting oneself in the proper mood for prayer. If you'd ask me, I would call that an exercise. I would assume that, I don't know, does anybody play the violin? Nobody? Okay, I would assume a violin player would probably, even before he picks up the violin, you know, he would exercise his fingers, no? Or something or other. Who can give me an example of from the reality of our lives of
tax returns? Before you do a tax return, you have
so you have to exercise your fingers. No, but I'm talking about like almost an exercise which you have to do. Oh, let's say for example, I don't remember which sport, but before certain sports, they tell you to do stretches. You know what I'm talking about? To stretch your arms.
Tennis.
Probably before tennis, you'd want to stretch. You don't. If you're not stretched, you know the muscles aren't flexed. So basically, you want to get yourself into the proper mindset for tefillah. So here's a warm-up. Yeah, here's a recommendation from Chazal, how to get into the mood, the mindset for tefillah. Says the Rav, I don't understand. If Psukei Dezimra is only a means to an end, if it's only an exercise, if it doesn't have any significance as an entity unto itself, can anybody guess what the Rav is going to ask?
Maybe by the bracha?
Exactly. Why is it that Psukei Dezimra is formulated in a structure as an entity unto itself? For example, you would take, what example can I give? Let's say, Birchas Chasanim. So you have a structure. You know, you have seven brachas, and they form an entity called Birchas Chasanim. Or Hallel. Right, Hallel is formulated as an entire structure. It's got a bracha at the beginning, a bracha at the end. Megillah, Kriyas HaMegillah. A bracha at the beginning and a bracha at the end. Now we get to Psukei Dezimra, and lo and behold, we find the same phenomenon. A bracha at the beginning, that's what we call Baruch Shamar. A bracha at the end, we call it Yishtabach. What is it demarking? What word am I looking for? What is it, in Hebrew we say, L'tachem, I don't know how you say, to create Tchumin. To what? Demarcating. What is it demarcating? Well, what's inside these brackets over here, this square? I mean, what entity? Call it by its name. Call it Psukei Dezimra, but what is it? It's like a violinist who's exercising his fingers so that he can play the violin. That's not an entity. You know, in Birchas Chasanim, the Gemara says, Kala b'lo brocha asura l'bayla k'nida. So the Birchas Chasanim is a very important entity. And Hallel, you have sugis and erchin about it, which days and on what occasions will arise for Hallel. So the Rav here in this paragraph, Ehine, and especially in the paragraph that follows that, Venira, but look at the end of the paragraph, Ehine, after quoting the Tosfos, he says that Tosfos, according to Tosfos, the Takana, he calls it Takana, Tosfos calls it a minute, of Psukei Dezimra, this is four lines before the end of the paragraph, is predicated on the halacha of the Mishnah, ain omdin l'spalel. You shouldn't be in a mood of atzvus and atzlus and then tzchok and kalos rosh, but rather use the simcha shel mitzvah to get you into the mood. It's like, what should I say, if you're a breast of a chassid, so you go out into the fields, you know, you do some izbaydudus, and then you're ready for tamening. So what's he going to make a bracha on izbaydudus? I don't know, I'm not a bretzlever, but maybe you do. I have to look it up in Likutei Maharan. But be that as it may, he says he doesn't understand. Halacha zu tzricha birur. You have to clarify this. Psukei Dezimra lo boim, bibracha lifneim uleachreim. Im kalami rasim you set us al din ein omdu lispal mitoch el mitoch this. If the whole exercise is just prepare yourself for prayer, get yourself in the proper frame of mind for prayer, why is it structured and sandwiched with a bracha at the beginning and a bracha at the end? We have such a thing in Hilchos Brachos of a self-contained unit that's enclosed, that has a beginning and an end. But why should that apply in the case of a Hechsher mitzvah? I don't even know if you call it a Hechsher mitzvah. It's not even a Hechsher mitzvah. It's an exercise to get you in the right mood. It's a psychological game, if you will, to put you in the right proper mood and mindset and frame of mind for tefillah. So the Rav answers the following. That Psukei de Zimra is, again, he doesn't use this term, but it is a Chal Hashem. It has a halachic ring to it, a name to it, a status to it. And what is that? You can know the answer without even looking, based on everything we've been saying for the last couple of weeks. It's a matir. Now, I was thinking to myself, where do you find a matir that requires a bracha? So first of all, Birchas Hanenim, although I wouldn't call it a Seder bracha, it's only one bracha per Hanah, but that certainly is an example, Kol Hanenim and Olam HaZeh B'lo Bracha Kilu Mal, where the bracha functions as a matir.
Birchas HaTorah?
Maybe Birchas HaTorah is a matir. But the Rav, if you remember, that, I don't know, were you with me, Neil, when we did Birchas HaTorah? The Rav thought that Birchas HaTorah is a matir, is a classical Birchas HaMitzvah. Because the Rav is of the opinion that even a mitzvah needs a matir, not just Hanah. But again, the concept or the relationship between a bracha and a matir is that's well-trodden territory. And again, I give you the example of Birchas Chasanim is kal below bracha asura labayla. The whole purpose of Birchas Chasanim of the Sheva Brachas is to create a matir. That's why I think it's very important that whoever recites Sheva Brachas should have in mind the Chasan and he should be listening. If the Chasan is not listening to the Brachas, I think that's a major problem. So we have such a thing called a matir. Shechita, for example, might be a matir. I'm not sure whether bracha on shechita is on the mitzvah of shechita, it's on the matir of shechita. You'll ask me, why don't we make a bracha on a get? A get is a matir. The answer is because it's a sad kind of thing. So maybe they dropped the bracha. I don't know. Tzarchim gadol. You don't make a bracha, what?
It's a tzara.
So maybe you don't make a bracha on a tzara. I think the Rabbi Yonis and Ivishitz is famous for saying you don't make a bracha on tzedakah because Nebuch the Ani needs your tzedakah. That's a klola.
We'll spin it on the chavira of things. There's no bracha.
Correct. But I'm just telling you that everybody and their uncle says that you don't make a bracha on tzedakah because it's been on the chavira and it's totally b'das akherim. Maybe you won't receive it, blah, 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 blah. But Rabbi Yonis and Ivishitz, I remember seeing this inside, has a very unique approach. He says that you don't make a bracha on something that's a klola. It's not natural. It's not the way it was meant to be. Again, we're getting way off our topic tonight, but the point that I want to leave you with is that the Rav sees in Psukei de Zimra a matir. I call it a chalos. You know, the Rav doesn't use that term. But once it's a chalos, it's a halachic entity, it's a unit, then we can understand. We can justify why it starts with a bracha and ends with a bracha. The bookends are bracha. And I know the hour is late, so I want to let you go. But I want to see the Rav in the pat. What?
It's a matir.
Yeah, you mean Nishav Shabbos Giret. Right? You say it's too late and then you keep going. Right, yeah, it's a matir. No, I just want to say the following. Seriously, I'm gonna have to let you go. But in the bottom paragraph on Mem Vav, the Rav quotes three Rishonim to prove his point that Psukei de Zimra is a matir. He quotes Rashi on that same daf here. He quotes Tosus that we read before, and he quotes the Rif. And I'm going to leave you with this question. Those of you who may have time to look at this, I'll give you as much as about 6 weeks to do so. maybe we could have a share on Skype if anybody wants to organize that. I'm certainly amenable to that. Very excited about that. I have Skype in Israel, so it's not a problem. But I'd like to ask you the following question. Are you convinced that Rashi, Tosus, and the Rif agree to this Yesod this definition that Psukei Dezimra is a matir. Now, I don't want to prejudice you. You may tell me I'm not convinced that any of these three Rishonim hold that way. You may tell me I'm convinced that all three Rishonim hold that way. Or you may pick and choose. That's question number one. Question number two, which I want to leave you with, is the Rav then goes on to say on page Mem Zayin that not only is Psukei Dezimra matir, but even Kriyat Shema Ubircho Seha is a matir. Now, on the one hand, I understand intuitively why the Rav is going that way, because he doesn't want to assume it's coincidental that what follows suit after Psukei Dezimra, Birchas Kriyat Shema, and Kriyat Shema, with the Bracha Shel Acharei, and then and only then you daven. So, sequentially, it really does fit to use, to plug in the Rav's concept of a matir. But when you think about it a second time, it sounds very strange to our ears. Birchas Kriyat Shema are brachos that are recited on Kriyat Shema. That's a unit unto itself. Why would that be a matir for tefillah? But I can't overemphasize how important it is for the Rav to postulate that Birchas Kriyat Shema and Kriyat Shema is a matir for tefillah, because that's going to lead in to, as I said, on Daf Nun, on page Nun, the Rav's entire thesis, which he began with, about Smichus Gula Tefillah. Now, it's Gula, which is the last bracha of Kriyat Shema before Tefillah, is going to be the clincher of this matir. So you've got this whole structure of a matir. Like, it goes from one level to the other. You know, first of all, you have the Chiyuv to begin with, and then you're going to be Mechadish Badover Koy to Rav and Rav Yosef. And then you're going to have the Psukei Dezimra as a matir. And then within Tefillah itself, you have the three first brachas that's a matir. No, the Shevach is a matir. But Shevach itself needs a matir. And then, you can have Kriyat Shema Birchas Seha, which I think is going to lead in to what's called Smichus Gula Tefillah, and that's going to be the matir. Okay, if there's anyone here that I won't see before I leave on Tuesday,